Thank you very much. Let's everyone stand together, if you would, please turn to Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah 2. Thank you very, very much for that beautiful song. Man, that is takes you into the heavenlies. A beautiful, beautiful thought. Thank you, young people, and thank you, orchestra members, for your role as well. Nehemiah chapter number 2, we'll begin in verse number 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth wait, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Would you read verse 18 with me, everyone together? Then I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? And let's all read verse 20. Are you ready? Then answered I them and said unto them, Father, thank you for the privilege to share just a quick thought today as we conclude our chapel service. I've been so blessed by what I've heard from your men and servants of Christ across the country that have shared eclectically wonderful truths. Now I pray you help us as we just kind of put a bow on the package of what is called chapel today. May it be a profitable time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. We're in a series of messages on the book of Nehemiah and making a snail's pace across this time, but I want you to be reminded about Nehemiah. What are several things we know about him, students? Let someone raise their hand and tell me something that we learn about Nehemiah. Yes, ma'am, Esther? He was a man that had a passion. There was something inside of him. He couldn't stay and keep his plush job in Babylon and still thinking about the great need that needed to be taken place in the city of our great God. And boy, soul winning is much more about a passion than it is a process or a methodology. You get passionate about getting people the gospel, you will. You'll do it. If you get passionate about discipling people, you'll disciple people. You get passionate about holiness, you'll be holy. It's a great thing that he had. What else did he have, Caleb? He had a plan. He had a plan. He thought about the plan for 4 months from the time he got the burden until he spoke to the king. He had to process some things, and he was not only had a plan, he was pensive. He thought about it. He thought about things. And it's really good to be able to process things. And sometimes we're quick to just talk and just to give our opinions about things without thinking. But the Bible tells us a wise man is like a deep well. He gets his you have to prime his pump. He's not someone who's going to puke all over you. Not someone who's going to throw a fit at you. He's someone who thinks about things and asks God for wisdom. Nehemiah was that. What else do we see about Nehemiah? Quickly, yes, Nick? He was a man of prayer. 10 prayers in the book of Nehemiah are recorded. 8 of them are spontaneous. They take place in moments of great need. And he said, when the king said, what do you want? He said, then I prayed to the Lord. He prayed spontaneously. And making prayer your first response, not your last resort, is very important. When you got a problem, pray about it. Before you post it on Instagram, pray about it. Before you go and talk to your friend, pray about it. God's got answers in prayer. Prayer is a two-way street. You're talking to God. He wants to talk to you. And Nehemiah was a man of prayer. What else do we find about Nehemiah? Yes, sir. He had a goal or he had a plan. He had something in mind. Very good. Yes, sir, Ben. He was patient, waiting. Boy, I tell you what I want right now. And I want things to go my way but waiting for things to come to fruition. You got time on your side sometimes. I do think there's a need for urgency. But learning to say, you know what, God's got this. I'm going to wait for him to come to fruition. You see many things about Nehemiah. Certainly he was a man. He was a point man for God. And by the way, we need point men. We need people that will lead. The work of God revolves around the lordship of Jesus, the partnership for Jesus, but leadership for Jesus. And I don't think this is something he had dreamed about doing. He just had a passion, and it made him a point man. He was a man who was pensive. He was prayerful. We find he had a purpose. He wasn't just goofing around. But he had people. Some were adversarial, and some were very assisting. Some, they came against him hard, and we learned 3 men real quickly. When he rolls into town with all the lumber from Asaph, the king's forest, he comes into town and with those soldiers, they weren't happy. Somebody to come and seek the good of God's people, to do something to bring glory to God. They were the slumlords. They were running the asylum, if you will. They were profiting on the challenges. And anytime you go and you try to do something for God, you're going to have adversaries. You're going to have bullies and critics. They come and they are going to be there. And they were here while Nehemiah was trying to do something for the Lord. He had some people and they were there and not interested in that. But then he had other people on the other side. He took time to go in the night walk and figure out what needed to be done. He sought the Lord in prayer. And then he addresses the people of God. He says, guys, don't you see the distress we're in? Let me just tell you something. The reason you're so important is because there's a great need out there. Wherever you go, you're going to need to go there because they need you. It's not going to be fixed. It's not going to be perfect. You're going to go set in order the things that are lacking. There was a great need that Nehemiah had, and he knew that. And he said, don't you guys see? They saw it, but they didn't see any way to change it. They needed leadership. And God gave Nehemiah to those people. Don't you see? And then he pointed to the second thing. Not only their circumstances, and not only the mess they were in, but he pointed to the hand of God that was upon him. You know, one thing, you don't have to be flashy. You don't have to be talented. You may not even be able to play an instrument. You couldn't even play the radio without static. That may be you, like me. I'm that way. See, I just don't think I can. You heard Brother Don say, I didn't think I could ever preach or failed speech class or I didn't know what I was doing on that situation. God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. And something you can have. If you don't have what everybody else has, forget it. Don't compare yourself among yourselves. But you can have the hand of God upon you. We find that the people in the Bible spoke about Jabez when he prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. He was named in a very difficult time of his mother's life. She called him Sorry. And when he said to him, what's your name? Sorry. Say, spell that again for me? No. Sorry, because my mother was sorry she had me and she had a hard time. Sorrow is my name. But he was more honorable than his brethren. And because he prayed, Lord, bless me a lot. Enlarge my opportunities and my influence. And Lord, put your hand be upon me. 9 times in the Bible, the Lord Jesus touched people with his hand. The Apostle Paul used his hand. But he had the hand of God upon him. That's his presence of God. Let me just tell you a few things in closing today on this good chapel. Why you want the hand of God upon you. Number one, the hand of God brings consideration of others. Whenever you and I walk with God, and it's obvious God is with us, other people will consider joining, helping, supporting you in the work of the Lord. When he told them the hand of his God that was on him, in the king's word, they said, let us rise up and build with you. Let's do it. And you know, there's something special about that. You don't have to be flashy. I've been to some unbelievable places of the world. I go to the Philippines and I see Brother Rick Martin. He is probably one of the skinniest people I've ever met in my life. He's small of stature. He's sick. But you know, the truth of the matter is, thousands of people have followed him and his example. The truth of the matter is, what we know about Brother Rick Martin, the hand of God is upon him. And it gives a consideration. And oftentimes you'll say, well, he's so lucky. People give to him. You know why people give to him? The hand of God's upon him. You know why people follow him? The hand of God is upon him. It gives you consideration. Number two, when you have the hand of God, you have confidence. Because confidence does not come because of who we are, but who is with us. Remember, life is a stewardship. It's required of stewards that a man be found. You don't own anything. I don't own anything. Everything is God's. We understand that, then we understand too that, you know what, he's the boss. You know, I'm the glove, he's the hand. And confidence does not come because of who we are, but who we know is with us. So the hand of God brought consideration, it brought confidence. I think the hand of God brings carefulness. And I say this only because you see that he had to be calculated when he spoke, when he didn't speak, when he went out to evaluate the city of Jerusalem, when he didn't, who he talked to, who he didn't talk to. And I think it's very important, young people, that you're very careful in this stage of your life. Be careful your whole life. I'm 58, I'm going to still be careful. You say, Pastor, you don't trust yourself? Absolutely. I'm not as far as I could throw myself. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to not put our trust in man, but put our trust in the Lord. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust sin. Don't trust temptation. Don't think, well, I'm big enough, I can handle this. The Bible says, let him that think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Be very careful. Be careful about habits. Be careful about video games. Be careful about hobbies. Be careful about sports. Be careful about social media. There are some things you got to be very careful about. Be careful about who you're following on YouTube. Those things are very challenging. And you know what? You have to avoid something I don't have to avoid quite as much, and that's called youthful lust. I don't have really a lot of interest in the music of the day. I can't understand what they're saying. I can't even understand it. I don't know what in the world. I say, why would you want that? I don't understand. I can't even know what they're saying. But you're young. And while you're young, the devil's trying to go after you in your youthful lust. The new apps that are out and the new things you can do and the things that are happening, be very careful. The hand of God will give you consideration of those that can help you get the work of God done, number one, number God anyway, number one. Number two, it'll give you confidence. Number three, it'll give you carefulness. I want you to notice another thing that I feel like it can give us is it can give us continuance to keep on going. One of our biggest challenges in our life is the challenge to continue. Being right, doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, for the rest of your life. Boy, when you have the hand of God, you know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anybody ever get lost when you're a kid in a grocery store or Walmart? You were with your parents, and then all of a sudden you let go of their arm and did your own thing. Sometimes parents do that on purpose, so you scare the snot out of you, you know. They let you start, well, you're pulling away, you want to wander from your parents, and all of a sudden you get away, and you're looking over here, and then you can't find your parents. Remember those terrifying moments? You know, the Lord's got His hand ready. And His hand can be on you and with you. And if you'll hook your little wagon to His locomotive, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a supplier of all we have. I use this illustration often, but when I was, when the kids were little, my wife, we had new carpet, so we would take all of our shoes off and put them at the door. And it was my shoes, the big shoes, and Linda's shoes, and then there would be eight other pairs of shoes all by the wall there. But sometimes when I would go someplace, there was a chair. Linda gracious enough put a chair by the door so I could sit down. I put my shoes on, tie my shoes. But as soon as I would sit down and start tying my shoes, one of the little kids would go scurrying around trying to find their shoes. I mean, they couldn't even talk yet, hardly. But they've noticed something. Dad's going somewhere. So they are going and they're looking for their shoes. And while I'm tying my shoes, they're putting their little shoes up by my chin. So, Dad, I go. And I say, where am I going to go? I don't know. So why do you want to go? I go. Put my shoes on is what they're telling me to do. And you know why they want to go? Because Daddy's got money. They don't have any money. Daddy can drive. They can't drive. Daddy likes Dunkin' Donuts. They don't get. Yeah. They know if they go with Daddy, it's going to be good. And you know, you want to, when God puts His shoes on, you want to put your little shoes on. And you want to go because He's that kind of God. And His hand is there available for you. What really turned the whole page on Nehemiah's story was when he told the people, the hand of God's on. And the hand of God brings so many blessings. And they said, let us rise up and build. I want God to have His hand upon you, and you can have it. I want it to be on me, and I can have it. Let's ask the Lord to help us with that. Let's pray together. We won't have a formal invitation today, but I want you to talk to God. Give Him the courtesy of response. If God spoke to you, why don't you speak back to Him? You know what you could say, God? Lord, I pray that I would be worthy of Your hand being upon me. His hand can bring consideration. His hand can bring many things that you need. Confidence, courage, carefulness. And keep you going when you want to quit. It can keep you going. continue. He's a greater motivation than anyone around you. I thank God for the many people that have motivated me, but nobody motivates us quite like God can. We can have His hand upon us. Father, please work in hearts. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of this chapel today to hear seasoned servants of Christ share with us admonition. Thank you for the beautiful song that the choir and the orchestra performed for you. We got to listen on it. I pray you bless each of those participants. Bless the remainder of the day. Protect our students. Give them a great day in Jesus. Help those who are maybe struggling with illness or sadness in the home front. I pray you'd please help them to keep looking to you. May you be glorified in this campus on this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.